chapter since last night is the windows of destiny. The windows of destiny. Every man must find his window. Huh? Amen. Every dove must find his window. That dove that flew back to Noah with the olive branch in its mouth. Amen. He knew where to take it. He knew where his window was. Amen. In our ministry as a church, we need to learn the will of God for our life. The will of God for our life are the windows of destiny. My friend, amen, you can find it. It is your prerogative and opportunity to have it, to know it, to experience it. Praise God. Brother Savage, you preached his classic message on those doves that he, those homing pigeons that he raised down in Mesquite, Texas. Amen, a suburb of Dallas and Fort Worth when he was pastoring down there. Amen. And he gave a couple of birds, I think, to some folks, his kin folks up in Virginia, and they took them home with him. And they had a cage, a walk-in type cage that they kept them in so they could fly around in there. Amen. And they had some little ones, maybe two or three little ones already. He told them before he sent them back, he said, you better keep them doors closed. He said, if they ever get out, said they'll come home. And one day, carelessly, they walked in the cage to look at the doves and show the people the birds. And those birds saw that open door left open, and man, they made a dive for it. It was just what they was longing for all the time. Amen. That old dove, that old pigeon, and that mate, and all the little ones dove out that window. Amen. And they began to circle. And they circled higher and higher. They theorized that the homing pigeon sets its radar by the sun. Amen. They circled higher and higher. And finally, at last, they darted toward the southwest. 13 hours later, Brother Savage called his kin folks in Virginia and said, hey, your birds is here. Amen. Then flew all the way back to Texas in record time. 13 hours, praise God. And he preached his messages. All the enemies they faced, the hawk and the owl and the temptations to rest along the way. Amen. But the dove was headed for their window. Everybody has a longing in their heart this morning for that place of success in God. We who have devoted our lives to Christ, we who have sold out to Jesus, we who have given our all and said, goodbye, old world, I'm through with you, and left it once and for all, and never intend to go back. We still have our own little inner battle to fight, because we'll never feel like we are fulfilled in this world until we find the will of God for our lives. Our window. The windows of destiny. Oh yeah. We live in a time of air travel as never before. And what an opportunity it is for us who preach the gospel to preach in a less limited way the saving glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Aren't you glad for the opportunities that's ours? Amen. We can get in an airplane and in a few hours time land almost anywhere in the world. Praise God. Anywhere in the world. Anywhere. I mean, it's wide open this morning. You can go anywhere you want to go. Anywhere for God. Who are these, amen, that fly like doves to their windows? What an opportunity we have today to preach the glorious saving gospel of Jesus Christ. in the whole world. I mean, if you're willing to pay the price of a ticket, and you have some inkling of the will of God. Amen. I told you about brother from Flint, Michigan. Amen. Brother Mullins, who felt led to go to one of the South Pacific Islands and preach. Didn't know one solitary soul. Didn't know, have one contact. Amen. There was a man walked up to him at the airport when he landed. And he told him what he wanted. He'd come to preach. He said, the church is not on this island, but there's one that's 20 miles away. Amen. And they got on a boat, and he rode 20 miles. The contact was right there at the airport to meet him. Amen. God sent him. And he preached the gospel. Amen. On one of the Hebridean shores. Praise God. Instantly felt led to go. Amen. Hey, those windows are open for you this very morning. Do we not believe in the Holy Ghost? Do we not believe in being led by the Spirit? Do we not have a divine director in the church of the living God? Amen. The Bible said while they fasted and prayed that the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I've called them. Amen. And the people turned their heads and motioned for Barnabas and Saul to come over. Amen. And stand up. Praise God. And yeah, they probably anointed them with oil and laid hands on them. Amen. And blessed them to do the work that Christ had called them to do. Amen. Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul. They found the window. Praise God. Paul was just going through the world preaching the gospel. Man, he was taking Asia by storm. He had so instilled the faith into these Asians. If you children are quit messing around and pay attention. Amen. You won't be kicking the tambourines. Be still 2 minutes. Amen. You won't be kicking the tambourines and pay attention to the preaching. Amen. Learn when you get bored in church to get good out of the preaching. Praise God. Paul was taking the country by storm. Amen. 2 full years he evangelized the whole country of Asia. Amen. I mean, without a telephone, without a telegraph, without a television. Amen. Without a... Well, they say if you want to get the news out fast, tell a woman. They had some that were on fire for God. Praise God. Amen. In 2 years without a jet plane, 2 years without a Ford or a Chevrolet or an air-conditioned Cadillac, they evangelized all of Asia. And one night, Paul, he let the cat out of the bag as he talked to one of his young preachers. He said, and having no more place in these parts, he had run out. He was looking for another window. He was looking for other directions to go in Asia. He was looking for things to do in Asia. Amen. And God said no. And the Bible said the Spirit forbid him to preach the gospel anymore in Asia. Well, Paul just went down, got in bed, went to sleep. Amen. He was like a lot of us, you know. A black preacher said, when I runs up against a problem I can't solve, I lays down and goes to sleep. It'll be better in the morning. That's the way I do. That's the way I pastor all my churches. When I run up against a problem I can't solve, I just lay down and go to sleep. Amen. Hallelujah. It'll be better in the morning. I just forgive everybody before I go to bed and wake up brand new in the morning, not an enemy in the world. Amen. That's the way to do. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Praise God. Just forgive everybody. Pray the Lord's Prayer in depth if you have to. Amen. Forgive our debts, our sins, our trespasses. We forgive those who are indebted to us, sinned against us, trespassed against us, disloyal to us, whatever. Amen. Just forgive everybody. Wake up brand new in the morning. Paul laid down, went to sleep. And there was a man from Macedonia. Amen, appeared to him. and said, come over to Macedonia and help us. Amazing thing. Paul crossed the divide, amen, the sea between Asia and Europe and preached the first gospel message in Europe. Amen. Founded the church of Thessalonica, amen, and some more churches, praise God, and did a great work for God. Hallelujah. Amen. Philippi, Thessalonica, what a ministry he had as he began to preach the gospel in this brand new window that was open unto him. Do you think it's still possible to pray through? Do you think it's still possible to hear from God? Do you think it's still possible, amen, for God to move on both ends of the line? Amen. Brother, I don't ordinarily do this as you get on the telephone. I don't ordinarily call anybody. And I don't either. I was raised up, you know, it was unethical to call people. But if God tells you to, call them. Amen. We live in a day where some preachers have $1,000 a month phone bill because, amen, that's all they do is call people trying to find a place to preach. And then they got to have $1,000 a week, amen, in order to preach because they got such a big phone bill to pay. Amen. Praise God. You think it's possible to pray through and God sends you? Amen. And take care of you before and after you get there? Do you think it's possible for us to get into trouble financially so that we'll go? Amen. And not stay home? Or stay home and not go? Huh? Amen. It's hard to know sometimes when to go and when to stay home. Amen. But once you make the commitment to preach the gospel, amen, if it hair lips granny, live, die, sink, or swim, amen, hallelujah. You got it halfway made right then. You got it licked right then. Amen. Because then all you've got to do is pray through about where God wants you. What God wants you to do. Hallelujah. What God wants you to say. Where God wants you to say it. Hallelujah. But you got to make the commitment first. Amen. Our first commitment is not to family. Amen. There's a big lot of emphasis today on focus on the family. But I want to tell you something, folks. Focus on the family can't make it work. Amen. The focus is on following Jesus Christ. Amen. And Jesus said to forsake family to preach the gospel. To leave father and mother, houses and lands, wives and children and houses. Amen. And everything else to hate your own life for my sake. Take up your cross and follow me. Amen. Put God first. Once you make that commitment, praise God, then those that become wives, children, family, amen, it'll be those that are committed just like you are. Amen. They won't nobody dare tie in with you if they're not committed like you are. Huh? Amen. You'll have to explain to that potential wife that I'm committed to God. I know the Bible says it's not good for man to be alone, and he's got one for you out there. Amen. If you'll live right. Amen. But if you're a slob yourself and all you do is sleep late in the morning and eat a whole lot, amen, and won't turn a hand to help out, pretty soon you're not going to be welcome anyplace. If you're a slob and your wife is a gossip, amen, that's going to make it worse. Amen. It's a terrible thing when a preacher is a slob. All he knows how to do real well is eat, amen, and sleep late. And he don't know how to turn a hand to do anything. And his wife don't help none. She's a gossip. Amen. Well, amen. You need to be careful who you marry. Both girls and boys. That preacher may look like it's very romantic, but it may not be all it's cranked up to be. Huh? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Not only does sometimes a preacher say across to the table to his wife, "Sing, hun, sing." She might be heard to say, "Preach, hun, preach." Amen. If that's the only place where you shine, do a lot of it. Amen. Somebody said, if you can't preach very good, you ought to sing a little. If you can't sing very good, you ought to play something. If you can't preach nor play nor sing, you ought to edit a paper or write a book. If you can't do either one, you ought to pray a lot. Amen. It's awful quiet for some reason this morning. I mean, all of you are not preachers, are you? Somebody ought to be able to say amen. Maybe you're having sympathy pains. Amen. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. I'm talking about the windows of destiny. Hallelujah. Sometimes we can create our own circumstances. Amen. If you'll stay with your books, you'll learn the language. If you'll read the right books. One reason the Lord wouldn't let me work for about 11 or 12 years, amen, and kept my nose to the grindstone was because He wanted me to read the Bible all the way through 11 times. Amen. He wanted me to read the books. Amen. You hear a preacher come along and say, "I don't believe in reading books." He don't have to tell you. He didn't tell it the first sentence that comes out of his mouth that he's stupid, that he's a dummy. Amen. Really what it is, he don't believe, praise God, in working for God. He's too busy doing other things. Hey, I've never took a hunting trip to Colorado yet. In all my hunting and fishing, I've never hung one trophy on the wall yet. I'm not preaching against hunting, fishing, and hanging trophies. I just never could waste God's money on trophies. The reason I hunt was to have something to eat. The reason I fish was to have something to eat. And since the family's hewed down to two, and I'm the only one that eats the stuff, I just about quit hunting and fishing. Amen. Don't take me wrong. I may go to Colorado someday. I might see the mountains someday. Amen. But there's something to do first. Hallelujah. I know some preachers that couldn't give to the camp meeting because they're saving up for their next hunting trip. Amen. If you take less hunting trips and less excursions across the world, amen, and less safaris to Africa, you'll have more to give for God. So I don't take none. Amen. I put God first in my life. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. And so I still haven't hung any trophies on the wall. Amen. I still haven't hung any big fish on the wall. I still haven't hung any big elk horns on the wall. Amen. And have time. Hallelujah. Some of these days I might get to kill one. It'd be a big job for me and Sister Collins to eat it. We may have to get more than one dog. Amen. We'll have to get a different one than this one that Brother Smith gave me because he won't eat raw meat. You just about got to call the buzzards to help him eat. Amen. Because all he likes is cheese and candy. Amen. And if I crumble up enough cheese in his dog food and kick around at the dish with my foot a little bit to give it a little competition, he'll eat a few bites of dog food while he picks the cheese out of it. Amen. Some of these days I might go to Tippecanoe and kill me a moose. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. But it'll be a job we'll have to call a camp meeting. Amen. Have an extra day in fellowship meeting to cook it. Amen. And not tell Roger what it is or he won't eat it. Amen. Sister Collins fixed up a big fine roast. Amen, with gravy and taters, and me and Roger went in and we chowed down on it. Roger had told me several days before that he didn't like wild meat. Amen. We ate that roast and ate and ate and ate it. He said, "Boy, that's a good cut of meat." Time or two. Amen, while we was eating. The next day, driving down bypass 4, I told him that was deer. Amen. He'd probably tell you still don't like wild meat. Amen. But we had a good time eating that one. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. God must come first in your life. You mean you don't believe a person ever ought to go hunting and fishing? Sure. God made the world 3/4 water. That means He wants us to fish 3 times as much as He wants us to work. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, I believe in going fishing, praise God, but I believe in putting God first. You mean you don't believe in going hunting? Sure, I believe in going hunting. Amen. I used to climb the highest tree, amen, and give it my best shot. And I'd drag sometimes 3 out in 1 season. Amen. And we ate them all. Hallelujah. And I had a good time to... But Christians have more fun by accident than the average run-of-the-mill does on purpose. Put God first. You'll have plenty of fun. Put God first. You'll get to eat plenty of watermelon. Put God first. You'll have occasion to catch some crappie along the road. Hallelujah. Me and Joy went with Brother Vern Smith. Amen. Brother Vern Smith took it over the Versailles. He was going to impress his youth pastor and his pastor. Amen. And old Vern, the first thing going around the lake, hung his prize bait in a tree. And so we motored over to it with our electric motor, and he reached up to get his bait, and the boat went one way as he reached out, and he went the other. He saw a log nearby. Amen. He's not here, so I'll tell you the whole story. You can ask him about it. And so he made the leap for that log, and he got it. But it wasn't stable, and the log rolled right over in the lake with him and doused him in that cold lake in March. He went, whoo! Out of there he came. He climbed back in the boat. Amen. Soaking wet. He was so cold, he couldn't hold on to his fishing pole with his cold hand and throwed his whole rod and reel fishing hard in the lake. And me and Joy drug the bottom and fished it back out for him. It wasn't too long until he throwed it in the lake again. Amen. Couldn't hang on to it. And we fished it back out of the lake for him. Amen. But we caught some fish too while we was laughing at Vern. Amen. And so we caught so many crappie and a few bass that we run out of minnows. And Vern said, pull me over to the wharf over here, loading area, and I'll get out and go get us some more minnows. And so me and Joey pulled away and started fishing. Saw a stick sticking up out of the water, not too far from the boat dock. Amen. Not too far from the bank. We started fishing. We was dragging them crappie out, one right after another. Amen. I mean, they was biting everything we throwed at them. Even those huge minnows, they was biting them. Amen. And here comes Vern back with a bucket of minnows, and we ain't got time to fool with him. We're too busy catching fish. Amen. And so old Vern says, well, General MacArthur says, here I come. And he waded right out into the lake and waded all the way out to the boat. Set his minnows in minnow bucket. Put his minnows in the keep alive. Amen. And set the minnow bucket that it goes down in up on the end of the boat. And hit the minnow bucket and knocked it off in the lake. And we never did get it back. But about dark, we pulled into the loading area and the game warden was sitting there. Amen. We came out. How many you got there? I said, I think about 50. Wrong. But he didn't count them. But he took a second look as I poured them into that bucket out of that creel. Amen. We loaded up and went back and got to cleaning fish out in front of the garage down here on Gano. Amen. And we counted them out. We was allowed 25 apiece, and we had 74 fish. Amen. One less than the limit for all 3 of us. That's why that game warden took a second look. There ain't never been a fishing trip like that. It rained on us. We just kept fishing. Amen. Vern fell in the lake. We just kept fishing. He waded out in the lake and got wet again. We just kept fishing. He knocked the minnow bucket off in the lake. We just kept fishing. Never been a fishing trip like that from this day forth. Christians have more fun by accident than sinners does on purpose. Amen. We didn't drink one beer. We didn't smoke one cigarette. Amen. We laughed and talked and enjoyed life. Hey, if you put God first, your fun will be wholesome. Amen. And you won't have to feel guilty about it. Amen. I put God first in my life. And because I didn't want to feel guilty, I built both my houses that I built brand new in the dead of winter and shoveled the snow out of them twice. I do a lot of work in the rain and sometimes in the snow because then I can do something for myself and not feel guilty because nobody's going to call on me. Nobody expects me to do anything. And so when I built my house up here on Elk Creek Road, just in the north edge of Miltonville, amen, it came in on the 2nd of February on a truck, first foundation of it. The floor joist and all the plywood for the whole house, the floor, the foundation. It was 5 below zero and the wind blowing out of the north, and it was hard to get help. But David Bingham, a member of this church, and his son helped me. Amen. Unload that truck. He was an agent for Kingsbury Homes. Amen. And I bought the home through him. And him and his son was there to help me unload the truck. We unloaded the truck and nailed down the floor by 4 noon. We had to get it done before noon. 5 below zero. The wind blowing out of the north. Amen. Hallelujah. Next day, the rest of the house, with all the doors and windows, the trusses, everything was on another truck. When the neighbor went to work the next morning, there wasn't nothing you could see because all we had was the foundation up. And that just barely came above the piles of dirt around where I dug the footer. And so it just looked like a flat place, like she'd seen every day. The next night, that night when she came in from work, amen, she came walking out across the yard, and there stood a house with the doors and windows in it, with the trusses up. Amen. We had unloaded that truck before noon, 5 below zero. Amen. Before we got the roof on and the front window in, the picture window, and the front door in, amen, it snowed in it twice. And I shoveled the snow out of it twice. Amen. Joe Bill and David Moore helped me nail on the decking on the roof. And it was getting late. Joe Bill had to go. Amen. And everybody quit me, and I was the only one that was left. They was in a meeting up Dryden Road. Amen. And so I was up on that roof, nailing those last few nails. Joe Bill said, "Don't you quit, Collins, till you get that roof, that decking nailed on." It started mist and rain and freezing. The roof became as slick as ice. Pretty soon, I was crawling around to nail those last few nails and that last piece of plywood. And just before I nailed that last nail, I started sliding down that roof. And I began to swim, work my way toward that other little roof that wasn't on yet that came out on the front porch. And that's all that kept me from sliding on the ground. Amen. I slid down and soaked in a hot tub. Amen. And went to church. Praise God. I was putting God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Nowadays, people let anything in the world keep them out of church. Amen. Drag around about the house of God. Amen. You wonder where people's priorities are anyhow. Amen. Well, a man's got to make a living. Who said? You won't read that in the Bible. All you can read out of the Bible is put God first. Plan your life to seek first the kingdom of God. Plan your life to put God first. 1 year ago, I went to Arkansas with an injured back. Amen. Got down there and scalded myself, taking down a light that the bulbs had got the water to boiling in because a 6-inch limb had gone through the roof. And that water, Frank Rogers said, it didn't get no water on your ceiling or anything wrong. It got on the ceiling and it found its level in my light and filled it up. Amen. I got up there to take that light down. It fell on me and scalded my left shoulder, neck, and chest before I could get my shirt off and my t-shirt. It took the hide off of my chest. Well, the seam went around that t-shirt on my arm. Amen. The next morning, I had blisters that stuck out a half inch. Where the seam went around my neck, and I couldn't get away from my neck in time. I had blisters around my neck sticking out a half an inch for a necklace. Amen. I'd run to town, and Jackie, my brother's wife, happened to have a whole bottle of aloe vera ointment, amen, in the refrigerator, cold already. And oh, it felt good on my scalded body. I took it over to Brother Charles Barnett, and they rubbed some more on me and had him and his wife pray for me. And he said, I want you to preach for me tomorrow night. Here I am with my back injured. I mean, the one that lets you step down. The muscle that lets you step back up. The one that turns you over in bed. The one you sit down in the chair with. The one you get out of a chair with. The one to holler hallelujah and amen with. And praised the Lord with, and sung, and played the guitar with, and climbed up on the rostrum with. I had every excuse in the world to miss church. My back was injured, but you know that was a great blessing. With my back injured and hurting the way it was, I didn't even feel the scald. With my back hurting and injured the way it was, I didn't feel my busted elbow. With my muscle injured in my back, left back the way it was, I didn't even feel the bruised area on my vertebrae. Amen. What a blessing that injured back was. By the time, amen, all the pain left in all those other places, my back was well. Amen. I couldn't feel anything else, Brother Burns. Nowadays, if somebody says they've got a headache, stomp their big toe real hard. Amen. And they won't even feel a headache. Walk on the corn. Amen. Just kidding. Amen. But it worked for me. Hallelujah. You know what I did? Amen. With the plasma oozing out of the second, third degree scald on my chest. Amen. I got up to preach 1 year ago in April at the Midway Pentecostal Church, just touching home. They still loved me down there. They still love me. I'm still one of their favorite sons. They told me the other day they're proud of me. Amen. And so they're glad to see me when I go home. I touched home again this week. Praise God. Hallelujah. I had every excuse. I had neglected my own house and my own work to go to Joy's meeting. But I climbed off of the roof Thursday night and got ready real quick. And found out I didn't have enough t-shirts. They was all dirty. If I would have found it out early enough, I could have washed one out and ironed it dry. But I didn't have time to do it. Amen. So I went through the ones that was used slightly. And picked the one that didn't smell so bad. And wore it. And I went to church. Amen. And helped out in the meeting Thursday night. Hallelujah. Why? Because there never was any question about me going to church. There never was any question about me putting God first. There never was any question whether I was going to drag around and do the will of God or not. Amen. I didn't have to take a vote on it. Amen. I already made the commitment. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Who are these? Praise God. That fly like doves, fly like a cloud, and as doves to their windows. What windows of opportunity are ours today? What windows of destiny are ours? Amen. Oh, to be a man like Wigglesworth. Let me tell you about the last days of Wigglesworth. He passed 200 kidney stones. I've passed 2 myself. And I know there ain't no place you can get comfortable with a kidney stone. The first one I had, I said, I'll tough this out and I'll even let my wife know that I've got a kidney stone. Pretty soon, there wasn't no toughing it out. I was groaning, amen, and climbing the walls and turning over in bed, amen. And my wife and everybody else knew in the house that I had a kidney stone. I passed it that night about 1 o'clock. It wasn't even big as a radish seed. Amen. A little later on, I had another one. Amen. And prayed, and it got easier. The next day, about 1 o'clock, I passed it, climbing the wall. Amen. Praying, calling on God, agonizing and pain. Amen. I passed it, felt it go down. Amen. About 1 o'clock the next day, it already passed so far into the duct that it didn't even ache like it did, but it's still sore. I felt it when it went out. I felt it when it got easy. Amen. You know what? We started revival at first with Havis Crawford. I could just see myself, amen, going to revival with a kidney stone with Havis Crawford. Amen. That's 2. 2 kidney stones in an area of 3 or 4 years. Amen. Hey, hallelujah. I just kept going for God. Wigglesworth had 200. Wigglesworth was in worse shape than the people he prayed for. And he still went. And he still prayed for the sick. And God still performed miracles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He didn't die in 1947, 1948. Amen. He outlived a whole lot of his peers. Praise God. Amen. I talked to those people in England, the home of Wigglesworth. And they said, he was so hard though. But the wonderful thing of it is, he got the job done. And they had to have 3 services a day to accommodate the crowds. God was doing such wonderful miracles. Hard? Amen. Explain to me by what you mean by your definition of hard. Mean? Explain to me what you mean by your definition mean. We talk about mean parents. Amen. The mean parents of the day are the good parents of bygone years. Amen. It broke the strong will of the strong-willed child. Cured the nerves of the nervous child. I tell them, send them up to my house. I can calm their nerves. I've got the cure. Amen. I know exactly how to do it. Praise God. Amen. And it'd be better for me and them and everybody else. It won't take too many neither. Hallelujah. Hey, the problem of today is we don't have our priorities straight. We don't have our heads screwed on straight. We don't know what's first and what's last. Amen. We don't know whether to put God first or something else first. There should be no question with the Holy Church over what comes first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things shall be added to you. The ox knoweth his master's crib, but my people don't know how to find God. Amen. Wandering, lost in the fog, wanting someone to help them. You first got to listen to the preacher. You first got to listen to good gospel preaching. And then you got to do it. Oh, you're always going to be wandering in the fog. And blame everybody else if you want to. But the only one in the last analysis can help you is you. God's available. The Holy Ghost is available. Salvation is available. The window is open. Spread your wings, O dove, and arise from the dust, and let the doves arise from the dust and fly to their windows, as John Gabbard preached that classic, when the doves get up out of the dust. That night that he preached it, I went back and shook hands with a one-time preacher, hugged his neck. He had a lot of perfume on and was chewing gum to mask the smell, but I still knew that unmistakable tobacco smell. He was backslid and bound by tobacco. He put one of my songs on his album when he was still preaching and didn't even know that I was the one that wrote it. And we sung it together behind this pulpit for a few times. But one time in his life, he forgot where his priorities was. And it can happen to the best of us. It's happened to better men than me. And so I must watch and keep my eye on the right window. Woo, hallelujah. And arise from the dust and continually fly back to my window. Do the will of God, even if it does hurt. Give, even if it does hurt. Pay tithes, even if it does hurt. Even if family members criticize you, go ahead and do it anyway. Amen. Do your best for God and watch God take the curse off your life as a dove. Get up out of the dust and fly to their windows. Windows of destiny. Windows of God's will. Stand with me as we sing. We invite you to come around the altar and pray a little bit. Amen. Pray with us tonight. Pray for the preachers. Pray for me. Pray, oh glory to God. If you don't have anyone else you need to pray for. If you don't need any more of God yourself, pray for your pastor. Pray for those that have the rule over you.